We're going to begin tonight on page 45. I want to thank you for coming out as we continue on in our study of spiritual gifts, and we're dealing quite extensively with this matter of tongues. Before we begin, let's pray. Father, thank you for your people tonight and for the fact that we can be here in this church, and thank you for people who have taken time out of their lives because they are interested in truth and doctrine and your word, and we pray you bless them for that. We pray that this will be profitable tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, people that are caught up in the tongues movement, they play on emotions. They don't develop sound minds. It's very emotional. In fact, most of the time, those that get caught up in it, there's a lot of music somehow that's going on. They want to play music and kind of get the emotions revved up. Sometimes they'll have drums and guitars. Other times they'll just have an organ that's playing something because they want to kind of rev up the crowd. None of that is designed to have people have sound minds when it comes to thinking about much of anything. It's actually designed to get people to be emotional so that they will react emotionally. Now, what we've been establishing about this matter of tongues is that tongues in the Bible was a normal human language, and we started last time talking about the proofs or evidences that it was a normal human language. And the first one we said is because the normal use of the word tongues refers to a normal human language. It's the word glossa. And the word glossa refers to an actual human language, a human nationality of language that people speak. We can't find, if we track it through the Bible, ever that this word glossa, tongues, is used in a context of bypassing your mind, moving to music, and started some type of rapid gibberish. There's no evidence of that whatsoever. It's in the scriptures as being something that's a language. Secondly, the gift of interpretation is the gift of translation. Now, we'll get into that later, but the gift of interpretation means you have to translate a language from one language to another language. Well, you translate languages. You don't translate gibberish. Now, the third evidence is Paul's quote in 1 Corinthians 14:21 to 22 is a statement about tongues, and it's a quote from Isaiah 28:11 to 12, which does refer to an actual language. So I want you to look, if you would please, at 1 Corinthians 14. Let's go there first. 1 Corinthians 14, and Paul's using a quote here from the prophet Isaiah. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we read in verse 21, "In the law it is written, by men of strange tongues and by the lips of strangers I will speak to this people, and even so they will not listen to me, says the Lord. So then tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophecy is for a sign, not to unbelievers, but to those who believe." Now what Paul is doing here is he's using a quotation from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 28, to make a point about New Testament tongues. So I want you to go to Isaiah 28, if you would, please. I want to show you Isaiah 28, and I want to show you the point he's making here in regard to this. In Isaiah chapter 28, we read in verse 11, and here's the quote, "Indeed, he will speak to this people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. He who said to them, 'Here is rest, give rest to the weary, and here is repose,' but they would not listen." And you'll notice in verses 1 to 2 of the same chapter, "Woe to the proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim and to the fading flower of its glorious beauty, which is at the head of the fertile valley of those that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord is a strong and mighty agent, as a storm of half a tempest destruction, like a storm of mighty overflowing waters. He has cast it down to the earth with his hand." So the context of this is God's people had become a bunch of drunks. And God said, "I've had enough of it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring in a people who don't speak the Hebrew language. These are people who speak a different language," reference to the Assyrians. "I'm going to bring them into the land. Actually, you are going to be controlled by people that don't even speak your language. They speak a different language. They speak a foreign language." So tongues became a sign to the nation Israel that she had been judged by God because every time they would hear a nation speaking in a language that wasn't Hebrew in their land, it became a sign to the nation Israel that we're under the judgment of God because we won't obey the word of God. So it was a sign, we don't believe the word, we don't obey the word. And as a result of that, God has allowed us to be dominated by a nation that doesn't even speak our language. What we would conclude from that is, since Paul alludes to it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, is when he uses the idea of tongues and uses that quotation, obviously tongues is a literal language, a foreign language that is spoken by people. Now the fourth evidence is, at the initial inception of the gift of tongues in Acts 2, it's obvious it was a normal human language because the people were amazed, as we've already gone through that passage, that people who knew Hebrew, men that knew Hebrew, could actually speak and they could hear it in their own languages. It obviously was a normal language to the people that were listening in the language that they knew. So it's very clear from examining the Bible that biblical tongues was an ability to speak in a real human foreign language. That's a far cry from what people are talking about today as being tongue speaking. They got the music playing. I mean, it's all emotional hype stuff. And they got people running around and waving their hands. And then they get all emotional and irrational and they start saying this weird type of things coming out of their mouths. That is not what biblical tongues is. When you analyze it from an actual objective perspective in studying the scriptures, it was a language, a normal human language that someone didn't know. So the biblical definition of tongues is the gift of tongues was, and I want to just keep reinforcing this because I want to drive home the point, the gift of tongues was a supernatural gift that was given by God to an individual so that he could communicate the true message of God in a normal, actual human language that was not previously known or learned by the speaker. It was a supernatural ability, a supernatural gift to communicate in a foreign language when you hadn't previously studied the language or learned the language or mastered the language. And as we've said, you that have ever studied any type of foreign language, you know how it works. You have to learn an alphabet, then you have to learn a vocabulary, then you have to learn nouns and verbs and structures of sentences. I mean, that's how you learn a foreign language. Biblical tongues was a gift that bypassed the possibility of having to learn the language in order to speak to people in their known language so that they could understand the things of God. And the gift of interpretation was a supernatural gift to be able to translate the foreign language so the message could be understood by those in the congregation who did not know the language. Now again, we want to bring this out. It's critical. When you had in Jerusalem people coming from all of those nations that are listed in Acts chapter 2, and they're all gathering there, and the Lord Jesus Christ had been raised from the dead, had ascended back up into heaven, how are you going to communicate that to these people who are in Jerusalem when you don't know the language that they know when they come there? They're coming there for a festival. I'm sure groups that knew the language, they broke them down into segment groups that knew the same language. How would you be able to communicate to these people in all these languages truth about the Lord Jesus Christ? You can't say, well, here's the Bible, so let's translate it for you and put it in your language so you can read it, because it hasn't been written. The way that it was done was these apostles were able to speak, and they were speaking, and the people were listening to this, and they're hearing it in their own language, the wonderful things of the Lord, which included the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that brings us to the question, what was the purpose of tongues? There are three purposes, as near as we may determine from the scripture. First of all, it was a legitimate spiritual gift. It was a legitimate spiritual gift. There are eight biblical facts that we want to observe about this gift. And I think it's important that we observe this about the gift because, as you'll see in just a moment, tongue speakers don't even accept the issue of this that we're discussing, that it was a spiritual gift. Fact number one, it was a gift that was sovereignly given by God. Sovereignly given by God. Now, we know from studying these texts of Scripture that it's God who gives the gifts. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 12. And I want to show you verse 11. 1 Corinthians 12:11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he will. Down to verse 18, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. And then in verse 29, all are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have the gift of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. Now, every passage that deals with the subject of spiritual gifts, and we've certainly in the last weeks looked at these passages, clearly established that God is the one who determines who it is that receives a particular spiritual gift. He's the one who makes his decisions in his sovereignty about who gets what gift. What that means is the gift of tongues, like all the other gifts, is not going to come to somebody because they're going to beg for it. It's not going to come to somebody because they're going to plead for it. It's not going to come to somebody because they're going to pray for it. It's not going to come to somebody because they've got music playing, and then you're swaying in music, and you're trying to just get some type of odd mystical experience in your emotions. It's not going to come that way. This gift is not imparted to someone by someone else. When the gift of tongues was operative, it was a gift that came directly from God, and it was given at the moment of salvation. That's when people got the gift, and they were, as we'll talk about, the gift was given so that the truth of God could be communicated. It was not given so somebody could walk around a sanctuary babbling while music's playing. That was not the purpose of the gift. The purpose of the gift was to communicate the things of God in a different language. Now, when we analyze and compare what the Bible says with what the tongue speakers claim, what you discover is there is a major discrepancy, because they claim that anybody can have the gift of tongues and everybody should have the gift of tongues. In fact, that's their promotion. In fact, they'll even put people down who don't have the gift of tongues. They'll make them out to be some second-class believer that hasn't really arrived yet at the level that the rest of the tongue speakers have arrived at. So they don't even deal honestly with this point, because it's not true. What they're doing is not true. It's not true to the word. Now, Don Bashan actually gives instructions on how people can speak in tongues. And I've included it in our notes, and I want to read it for you, because here's how he says you could do it. Now, the first thing I want to tell you is this. You can sit back and relax, for you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you can speak in tongues. It is in your power to do all you have to do. There's no reason why, now look at this, every one of you, stop right there. Right there tells you this guy's not telling the truth of the Word of God. Because the Bible says not everyone has the same gift. So right now we know this guy is not telling the truth of God. He'll have a following, I'm sure. They'll have people that'll get hooked into this, but he's not telling truth that's coming from the Word of God. There's no reason why every one of you will not receive the Holy Spirit and be praising God in a new and unknown tongue within a very few minutes. So relax and be confident. It will happen. Again, let me make it clear. Every one of you can do this. Now just ask yourself, does that square with the Scriptures? No. No, not in gift theology. Because not everyone is going to have the same gift. I don't care if you think they should. They're not going to have the same gift. It is within your power, once you understand what's required of you, to receive the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues. Now, when the prayer for you to receive is offered, and I'm simply going to pray one single prayer aloud in behalf of all of you, asking the Lord Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and enable you to praise him with a new supernatural way. Now, let me pause here. He doesn't even know what baptism of the Holy Spirit is. To him, in his mind, he's already way off track from biblical truth, and he's way off track with baptism of the Holy Spirit, because in his mind, baptism of the Holy Spirit is synonymous with speaking in tongues. And that's just not even true theologically. We know that. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the moment that Holy Spirit put you into Jesus Christ in the justification moment when you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've tracked that through scriptures and studied that. It has nothing to do with speaking in tongues. But obviously, they're not presenting the truth. They're presenting some distortion of their own belief. Anyway, back to what we're reading. Immediately after the ending prayer, I'll ask you to do a very simple thing. I'll ask you to open your mouth and breathe in or drink in deep, full breath of air. All right, that's the first step, breathing in. The Holy Spirit and having faith that he's coming in. Again, let me tell you, relax. Does this sound like anything biblical? Man, you look at that and you go, these people are crazy. I look at that, I think through the scriptures that deal with the passages, and you're going, there's no connection here. I mean, these people are inventing things. It's a diluted demonic doctrine, what you have here. Anyway, again, let me tell you, relax. You can do this. You can receive the evidence of speaking in tongues. It's in your power to do it. Let me explain what I mean. So when the time comes for you to speak in tongues, be ready. After I've prayed the prayer in your behalf, and immediately after you've opened your mouth and breathed in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you, let that breath out. Only do not let it out silently, but put the sound of your voice behind it. Now, when I give the word for you to open your mouth, just babble out whatever pops into your mind and whatever you feel on your lips and tongues. And once you begin, keep it up. And another thing, when you start to speak, don't worry about what it sounds like. It may sound like Chinese, Polynesian, like notes of a musical scale, or even like baby talk. Boy, that sounds like it's a real spiritual experience, doesn't it? I mean, that sounds to me like a joke. I mean, you read that and you go, this is bizarre stuff. I'm telling you, there are churches all across this nation that buy into this baloney, and it isn't true to the Word of God. So they'll go and the music will play and the drums will beat and it'll be the music and the guy will be up there talking about nothing. And people will start moving and dancing. And it's just like he says, relax, relax, relax. Well, you know, when you talk about studying the Word of God, it isn't really relaxing. I mean, studying the Word of God is intense, which we know from being in this church. It takes focus. And you have to think through. You ask the Lord to prepare your heart and mind to receive the Word of God. And it takes a focus to look at the scriptures and analyze what's going on. There's nothing that he writes there that sounds like it's the sovereign work of God at all. I mean, when you read through that, you're thinking, that doesn't sound like the sovereign work of God in giving a gift. What it sounds like is one human trying to manipulate another human. And it certainly doesn't sound like a description of the spiritual gift of tongues that you see in the Bible, because he's basically saying everybody should have the same gift, when in fact we know that's contrary to the Word of God. See, this is why it is so critical that we understand sound doctrine, that we understand these books of the Bible, because there are all these ideas that are out there in religion, and we want to be able to say, now, wait a minute, does that really square with what's written? And when we look at this, we go, no, it doesn't. So the first fact is, the gift of tongues was sovereignly given by God. Secondly, since it was a spiritual gift, we know not everyone is going to have the gift. So any teaching that would present to a believer or to anyone that everybody can have this gift, it's wrong teaching. It's false teaching. Because that's contrary to what the Word of God says. And unfortunately, the tongue speakers and the tongues promoters, they're not real interested in the truth of the written word. They're not interested in what does actually this Bible say. What they're interested in is manipulating and emotionally revving up an audience. That's what they're interested in doing. But they're not interested in having that audience actually understand what the Scripture says. For example, John Sherrill, in his book, They Speak With Other Tongues, says speaking in tongues is everyone's need, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is always accompanied with tongues. The Constitution of the Assemblies of God Churches says the baptism of believers in the Holy Ghost is witnessed by the initial physical sign of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives them utterance. It further states, we believe in speaking with other tongues is the initial evidence of baptism of the Holy Spirit. So this is the idea, everybody should do this. Everybody should be able to do this. Well, that's contrary to the Scriptures. And it's clear that this belief is contrary to what God has put in writing. So that's heretical teaching. See, it's heretical teaching. If it doesn't square with what the scriptures are saying, it's not true. You don't want to buy it. You don't want to believe it. It totally contradicts what the Bible teaches about spiritual gifts. Thirdly, as a spiritual gift, the gift of tongues was a speaking gift. We know that. Because Paul said, if I speak with the tongues, I mean, obviously it was a speaking gift. It required, if you're going to talk in a foreign language, you have to speak. So a key question to consider is, what's the purpose of a speaking gift that God would give to the church? If it's a speaking gift, what's the purpose of a speaking gift? Whether the gift would be prophecy or pastor teacher or evangelism or wisdom or knowledge or tongues, the purpose of any speaking gift is to communicate truth which God wants revealed. And that is exactly what biblical tongues initially did, according to Acts 2:11. Because when those apostles were speaking in a foreign language, they were communicating the truth and they were understanding the wonderful things of God. That's what the gift did. It wasn't a bunch of people running around glazed-eyed, falling down in aisles, raising their hands, listening to blaring music and babbling, and then some of them actually look like they pass out in some of this stuff when they're doing it. That was not the purpose of it. The purpose was to communicate the wonderful things of the Lord. That was the purpose of the true gift. Fourthly, as a supernatural gift, it was a temporal gift. Now, in 1 Corinthians 13:8, it's such a critical verse, whether there be tongues, they will cease. Now, that tells us right there that the gift of tongues is not an abiding gift. The gift of tongues is not permanent. It is a temporal gift. Because in 1 Corinthians 13:8, Paul says that gift will cease. He names the gift that he says that gift will cease. And it's interesting that he uses a middle voice verb in that gift will cease, which means God has built into the gift of tongues a shutoff valve in and of itself. So he had actually, when he allowed this particular gift to be operative in that early first century, he actually had included with the gift an automatic shutdown valve. He gave the gift temporarily. He gave the gift for a period of time, then it was going to shut itself off, shut itself down. And God apparently, by use of the middle verb, programmed that into that particular gift. Now, the text says in 1 Corinthians 13:10, it will shut itself down when the perfect comes. We've already spent a great deal of time concerning that issue. And we concluded that the perfect would be the completed scriptures. Because certainly once you have the completed scriptures, you have no more need for extra revelatory data coming from anything other than the scriptures. So at that point, once you have the scriptures in written form, you actually have a written document whereby you can translate that document now from one written language to another written language, and you can have the Word of God. You don't need the temporal gift anymore to be able to accomplish that. So we learn from 1 Corinthians 13:8, there was a shutoff valve. Fifthly, it was an apostolic gift. Now, you can't limit it just to the apostles, but there's no question you could connect it to the apostles. Multiple passages connect the gift of tongues to the apostles, and then when the apostles were not present, it was to be very highly regulated. Which brings us to the sixth fact, it was a revelatory gift. In other words, what I mean by that is this was a gift that revealed messages from God. You didn't have it in writing, so they are actually getting messages from God to be able to speak in a language the people could understand and give them messages that came directly from the Lord. For example, if you went to a memorial service or funeral and you asked the question, will we ever see our loved one again that died? Of course, you can ask us that. We go, well, sure, 1 Thessalonians 4, we can take it to several passages. Say, yeah, you're going to see him again. You're going to meet him again. You're going to fellowship with him again. So we can take you to passages. Well, they couldn't do that. So if someone comes into the church and they've lost a loved one and they're in that church and they're wondering, well, am I ever going to see our loved one again? God, at that point, always provided for his people a means by which they could ascertain his truth. And so he would obviously allow the truth of, say, 1 Thessalonians 4 on that question to be communicated, and he would allow it to be communicated in a language that person could understand. That was the purpose of the gift. It was a revelatory gift. So in all reality, the person who is giving that information as the vessel giving that information is actually giving special revelatory information from God, because they can't get it from the written scriptures because they're not in existence. So they're getting special revelatory information from the Lord. Now, John is very clear to write in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 18, now that the scriptures are in print, don't add to this. You don't add to this, you don't subtract from this. In fact, I want you to look at that for a minute, if you would. I want to point out something in Revelation chapter 22. In Revelation chapter 22, and I want to draw your attention to verse 18. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. Now, the thing that you see here is you don't want to add anything to what's written. That's verse 18. Do not add anything to what's written in this book. And the book certainly would refer to the book of Revelation, but also in light of when we studied that text, it has far-reaching ramifications to the Word of God. Once the Word of God is written, you don't want to add to that. We have the written Word of God now. Our responsibility that we take seriously in this church is go to work on carefully understanding what the written Word of God is, which is our job. That's our job to carefully do that. We don't come up and make up messages and say, God told me new stuff to tell you. I mean, that doesn't work like that in this dispensation. So tongues was a revelatory gift. And since you have the Revelation 22:18 text that says, don't add any more to anything now that this is written. Now this has been written down, you don't make any additions to it or subtractions from it. That would tell us right then, well, the revelatory gifts are done. The revelatory gifts have shut down because God isn't doing that anymore once he has his written word. Now, the seventh fact is, as a spiritual gift, it was to be a carefully regulated gift. It was to be a carefully regulated gift. And I think we'll pause here because we've kind of gone over a little bit tonight, and we'll go through the regulations for the use, Lord willing, next Wednesday night. Our time is gone for tonight. We have a wonderful, interesting passage of Scripture that Paul gives in 1 Timothy this Sunday morning when he tells Timothy something about his own life. It's a pretty powerful text. And then Sunday night, after Solomon got done with that great prayer and blessing that he pronounced on the people, God comes to him. And remember, when God came to him the first time, it was that make a wish, whatever you want. This time he said, I've got a little different message to bring to Solomon. It's a fascinating text that we'll look at Sunday night. So we're going to have a great day of worship. Thank you for coming. Good night. The Lord bless you.